Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Thanks to everyone who joined in last night in our new live show. If you don't know, on Patreon, we have upped the ante on our live streams. They were born in lockdown. A great way to connect, great way to talk to you all. We always get feedback that people wish they could talk to us as we're recording a podcast. Well, guess what? You fucking can now. Over on our new live show. How would you encapsulate it, Lindsay?
Well, it's kind of like actually seeing what it's like, you know, when we're recording. I think people love seeing people chat and how we kind of interact visually. Also, we kind of went on Daily Mail and we were picking out some articles and stuff, and we were able to share our screen, so you're seeing us in the little corner chatting about it and actually getting the visuals. So it's just an easier way to talk through some like lighter stuff that may not be big enough for a pod, or we may just need that visual aspect. So it is such a fun new element that we have to play with now, and that's going to be monthly at least on X-Gals.
Yes,
Fiverr a month, guys. You get that every month. You get your weekly X-Gals exclusive podcast and the archive to over 130 other episodes. And how many live streams do we have up there now?
I think over 30. And just so you know, that's a good point, Lindsay, that the live streams are up there evergreen on our Patreon page. You can just find them and rewatch them. So it's not like it's live.
Episodes.
Yeah, it's not like it's live and then you miss it. It's live. If you can join us when it's up, fantastic. If not, sit your ass down on a Tuesday morning and watch yourself.
Exactly. But just we wanted to up that because to make it like a new piece of content, because we were using like StreamYard when we weren't recording together during lockdown, and like
the MacBook webcam.
Yeah.
And this tiny ring light I have. Like now we have like fucking little, we're getting a little production team going. We've got fucking Jesus Christ, it takes so long to say. I've such a respect for streamers, guys.
Well, you are one now.
I mean, yeah.
Like Jenny Foley was like clipping in HDMI this and that. I was like, this is like a fucking maze.
It was crazy.
Of wires around the gaff. And we had Boo Boo and Carl on the
like
on the Discord
desk,
and chatting away.
Our hot desk.
And we're gonna get mics for them as well. So like they'll be able to kind of like be in the background, but throwing in the old comment.
Yeah, because Evan was like, I won't be mic'd. And I kept being like, just have a mic, because I know from watching live podcasts, it actually annoys me when they talk to someone off camera and I can't hear what they're saying. And he's like, I don't need to be mic'd, I won't be saying anything. Jeez, he couldn't shut him up. And then we were watching it last night. He was like, pull up that stream there and let's see what it said. Like he was mad into it. And then there was one bit where he said something. He was like, you can't fucking hear me. I'm like, I told you.
I win that fight.
I'm like, so you need a fucking mic. But yeah, thanks to everyone who tuned in. It was so much fun. And anyone who hasn't watched it, if you missed it, just go on our Patreon page. It's there and you can watch it. So fun. And we just look so cute. It's just such a cute setup.
We got a new from FOMO Lighting. We got this unreal neon sign. X-Gals, it's like a purpley neon gorgeousness made up, and it looks so cool. So that's our little setup, and we're going to be expanding on that over time as well. So that was the first one. If you remember, like we said in that live stream, our first ever It Gals was on this tiny little microphone. It sounded like we were using two tin cans to record.
Basically were.
So like, you know, it's fun also having X-Gals on this new journey with us to see like
the growth.
Yeah,
you know, the growth.
I love that with when you're following someone like on YouTube.
Me too. I love going back on their old vlogs and it's like filmed off an iPhone 3.
I love that. Like their eyebrows are always shit.
Yeah, their makeup's shite. Yeah, their room isn't aesthetic.
Yeah, I know. You see like little elements of their aestheticness, like one plant, but then like in their new ones, they like have like so much better shit, much better bushier brows.
Or I love it when you look like, you know, like way, like obviously throughout YouTube especially, there's been like loads of different aesthetics that have been popular. Like now it's all like the fucking TikTok, you know, like the, how everything's looking like we all live in bubblegum dreamland all of a sudden, which I'm loving, to be honest.
Oh, I know, it's great.
But I think, remember back in the day on YouTube, it was really big to have like the perspex, like makeup display. They'd always put this like, and it was a real OG YouTuber thing, and your mom's gonna have to do, like you'd have your dresser and they'd like try and marbleify it by putting that like decal marble stuff on to make. And like, I love watching someone who like now is like TikTok fucking cool aesthetic, like mid-century modern. Now back then they were doing the exact same trend.
I love that.
You're so fresh.
I know, it's so cute.
Because I was too.
I know. Lighting really has come through the past couple of years. Like even Rilo bought himself some LED lights and like
everyone has ring lights,
like, and everyone has LED lights LEDs. And like those interchanging like colored bulbs.
That's TikTok.
But like it really makes a difference to your just overall well-being, in my opinion.
Hell yeah.
Like salt lamps, fuck off, they did nada.
I like a salt lamp. I do mixed like, with the neon, because I have gorgeous, like, you know that tube neon I have in my corner that's like color changing, and if I put that on a fuchsia and I've got my a salt lamp beside it, if they kind of meet and make this like purpley orange sunset color. Oh, it's fucking stunning.
I got one of those sunset things.
Oh yeah, I saw you
on it. Instagram. I did.
I've been
obsessed. I got it on Amazon though, because I have a thing against, I don't know, just something about me. I can't buy from Instagram, those weird shops on Instagram.
No. Well, it's all,
I just feel it will never come.
I think they're all like usually done drop shipping through AliExpress anyway. You know, that way. So you order from them, they charge you to order then on AliExpress and send it to you.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, that way.
Yeah.
I did, however, make a few AliExpress purchases.
I've been thinking about dipping the toe.
I got a fake Murano lamp because I am not spending €750 on a small glass lamp. You know, like the spun glass lamps.
Oh, yeah.
100 quid.
Really?
Usually 800 or something.
Wow.
And it's a big one. And I got this really kind of TikTok vase. The vase is, that's what Fiona Hamilton, your sister, pointed out to me. Because I was like, where do you get your nice vase? And she was like, all those ones on Urban, everything, they all buy them from AliExpress.
Okay, I will be clicking. How do you maneuver through AliExpress? Like, is it like reviews?
Well, no, kind of. I mean, usually I find the top sellers for stuff like that are just grand. You know, that way. I mean, when it's stuff like the vases, I'm like, they supply them to so many fucking shops. So like, they're all the same fucking shit. You know, that way. And I got...
I can feel that you're going to get so many DMs now asking about these vases, and I'm sorry.
Well, that's if I post it. I know, I only bought one.
I mean for the podcast. Because we did a podcast with Adam Mind Poppers the other week, and I mentioned that...
Oh, did you get more?
No, I mentioned that fucking light thing that I got years ago, the galaxy on the ceiling and stuff. And one girl...
Which, by the way, can I say... Mm-hmm. You were a trendsetter on that, because now everyone's getting that shit. And you were the first one. I was like, what the fuck did she just buy for a room, and where do I get it?
I don't know where I saw that.
I said in the DMs.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on that girl, Amy Lee, on YouTube. You know, the kind of Asian girl. She had it and I was like,
She had it.
She had it years ago. When
she's
it, what,
one who has also cycled through all the trends.
Yeah, she is. And
she
I
was
love
like
her.
Tumblr girl. Now she's like,
yeah,
she's so cool.
Now she's kind of eclectic style. I'm loving it.
Yeah, she's TikTok style.
Yeah. But so yeah, one girl wrote to me and was like, her last message was, hey, I don't know if you'll see this, but like you had some light that was on your ceiling and it was like a galaxy kind of thing. Do you know where you got that, or have you got a link? And I hadn't seen it or something. Or I think I was like, oh, I'll try to find you the link. And then she wrote back and she was like, oh my God, I'm just listening to Adam's podcast. I'm lolling. I'm so sorry. I was like, no, I'm sorry for being so fucking rude.
But you know what it is also? Amazon links are so huge. When you link, and also Instagram sometimes doesn't let you link Amazon.
Oh, right.
It's happened to me before where I've tried to send Amazon. I don't know why. Are they hating each other? Is there beef?
Instagram. I don't know, but can we all just get along so I can link?
Yeah, let me know if you're beefing with Amazon, sweetie. But whenever I try to link Amazon, it's like, it just, you know, the little red X.
Weird.
Literally no explanation. I'm like, I think it's because they're annoyed. making up the beef in my head. I think it's because like they want to make money off their ads.
Oh yeah.
And we're
probably
in competition with Amazon. So if you're linking Amazon, well honey, I'm just trying to do a swipe up, okay? Sweetie?
Yeah. I'm just trying to give my followers what they want. I'm just trying to link the goddamn light.
I know. Instagram should really take a hint off TikTok and make like a paid creators thing.
Oh, I know, they're dumb.
Like, why did they not do that? That's so smart that TikTok do that.
Really smart.
Like, Trisha Paytas gets paid every time she posts a TikTok. Every single TikTok she posts. Imagine getting paid every single story you post. I'd be flat out.
Oh my gosh. You'd not be able to stop me. Hey guys, happy Tuesday. So yeah.
Happy Tuesday. Hope we're getting that bread. Hope you've all set your manifestations. Oh Instagram was rife with the manifestations yesterday. Did you notice?
What?
Instagram was rife with the manifestations yesterday.
What?
It was a new moon in Aries or something.
Oh yeah, I saw a bit of that.
Everyone's like, hope we've all done our manifestations, queens.
Okay. What are you manifesting, honey?
For manifestations to go off Instagram.
Okay.
No, like, I mean, whenever I do a Q&A, I get that question. Do you believe in manifestations? And I'm like, I mean.
I get that too. Now, I can see why they ask you because you're into like astrology vibe.
But I have never mentioned manifesting. Fucking bullshit.
Manifesting. Like, it's enough from me.
Well, like, I mean.
Do you know, we play with it. I remember we were like, let's just fucking, when our first live show in the Tivoli, we were like, let's just go for it and be like, it is sold out. Like, yeah. You know, be like, tell ourselves, and then it did sell
that's
out.
That's what I kind of mean. Like, when people say that, like, do you believe in it? I'm like, well, define what you mean in it. Like, do I believe that if you set intentions for like a business goal, are you more likely to achieve it? Yeah, that's proven.
It's like about being organized.
Yeah, but it's also like proven that like if you, you know, set out.
Having goals in life.
Exactly. If you have something to strive for, you're more likely to get closer.
And if you're self-motivated like exactly. That, you know.
But like, do I believe that like if you leave out a journal in the moonlight on a certain Thursday during the year that it's gonna come true without any other
rock that you think is opalite?
Yeah, exactly. Or like without any other external factors, like, you know, people are manifesting crazy shit. It's like, you know, I am manifesting myself being a superstar. It's like, okay, no, let's manifest maybe you having enough money to pay your rent. I don't know, working hard.
Yeah. I know, or like, I want to have my own fashion line. I want to be like Coco Chanel.
I know, it's like, I understand that like, it could help you stay focused maybe, you know, that way to be like, that's my goal. But like to actually, it annoys me when people, and I think this is what kind of pushes forward the narrative of the manifestation bollocks basically, is when people achieve something and then online they're like, I manifested this. It's like, oh, you're giving so many dumb bitches false hope.
Yeah.
Like now these people are gonna think that
like the likes of Amy Lee on YouTube.
Yes.
Like she is such a manifestation kind of.
She's a great hate watch, but I really like her,
but she is super like woke culture, like you know.
Oh, she's like woke culture on crack.
Yeah, literally. It's like a lot to.
It's like she's fully buying kinetic sand to connect to her inner child.
Yeah. She did that.
She did that. She was like her latest thing on Instagram. That I not latest thing, but a few months ago. But I remember, I think I had to mute her after it because I was like, I can't.
I unfollowed her from Instagram. I that's why I like YouTube. I can opt in more so.
100%. And so what she did was she was like, look what I bought today, and it was like kinetic sand, Polly Pockets, all these children's toys. And she was like, it's because I was always denied these as a child, or like we were too poor to buy it, so I bought like, which is like, it's cute on paper, okay.
And makeup is our fucking way to you can connect. With
it's also
child.
Like. Connect with your inner child that way. Or sometimes I love to connect with my inner child by like reminiscing, like say last week's episode, talking about the Y2K stuff. Like that was so fun. But like, I really don't need to be buying Barbies.
No, that's a bit too literal.
Play The Sims. That's like Barbies for adults.
Luna plays Toca Boca and dear God, I'm like, give it a go though.
That looks good.
Give it a go. And I'm like, get that over here.
Who bought that iPad?
Yeah, I know. But like, I do pick and choose from her. Some things, like the idea of connecting when they are in her child, is something I would never think of.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, it's actually so fun to just play. Mm. Like, and I mean, like,
make believe.
Play fight with your fucking fella. You know, with the kids, like, dancing around or. With your friends, just being dumb.
Or like making up random songs.
Stuff
that even when you say it aloud sounds really stupid, but it's so fun.
It is, yeah.
But she is high. She is a real manifester.
That stuff comes naturally when you're like, ooh, I'm in a playful mood.
Yeah.
I need to play.
Absolutely. Like I'm going to set time.
Getting out my Polly Pocket that I also bought at Amazon.
I'd be literally just Instagramming it.
Imagine if Evan saw that coming in the door.
He'd be like, are you regressing?
He'd be like, are you a pedophile?
But she does do that whole, like, she'll literally, like, get some deadly brand deal, say. I remember she was working with Armani, like, these cool people. And she was like, I manifest this. I'm like, no. you've made enough consistent content and grown your audience so that they've now acknowledged you. And also you have a management company who you probably told you want to work with them. They reached out to them.
Let's keep it tangible. Sorry, I don't mean to be like all Asians are the same or anything, but like there was another really fucking famous YouTuber. I just haven't followed her in a while.
Is it Kay Claire?
Yeah, she's also a fashion girl. She has fringe. She's really quirky.
She have a lot of tattoos?
No, it's not her. But she, if I find her, I'll link her on her Instagram. She does a lot of the kind of, like, she's a bit of a mad goofy girl, and she has, like, she got really good brand deals, and she was getting like a million views on all of her vlogs.
Whoa.
Like her parents didn't know about her fucking vlogs and stuff. She was so cool. But I just kind of dropped off following her. She's not dead, hopefully. But she used to do like kind of within her vlogs that are all fun and dumb, be like, oh, this is me spending 4 hours writing back to different brands, and oh, they wrote back and I had to like send back the fucking, like, they didn't like what I shot, so I had to send it back, and like, this is my, like, she had her calendar on her wall. So she really showed like the kind of, it's not just fun, dumb stuff like me eating cereal on YouTube. It's like, and it's not even that you're working alone. You know, they're like, I work for myself. But you're not working alone because you're in contact with brands and emails and having to call them and like send stuff and write, you know.
Yeah, and like, yeah, there's multiple like layers to an IG post, if you will.
There is.
It could have been
you
rejected.
You don't know. Like, it used to be, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And I was just like, you don't know what goes on.
Behind locked screens.
Behind behind my gram.
Okay, so today, content warning, if we are going to be talking about some eating disorder stuff today, because unfortunately, Nikki Graham passed away on Friday.
Yeah, and we had to do an episode.
Yeah, I mean, because she was such an enigma, such an incredible icon, and I use that word like unironically, of reality TV, you know. Obviously Big Brother, the Ridge, was like, I think that was probably the first, you can correct me obviously if I'm wrong, Linz, the first kind of continuous reality show that people just bought into year after year. It's the first one that I remember anyway that came back every year and everyone was like fucking dying for it.
And this actually, her season was Big Brother 7 and it got voted the most, their favorite, the nation's favorite season.
It's brilliant. I even watched it live when it was happening. Like, it was unreal.
Yeah, it was like amazing. It was one that like,
My mom watched it.
Years, like, it totally depended on the characters. And that year, they just got, like, such an eclectic bunch of fucking people. And they really, like, pushed it with the people. And this was obviously before social media. So, like, you know, that, say, like, people like that and those, like, obscure characters really paved the way then for, like, in future when it kind of, like, got like not as good and you'd have people really pushing their personality to be quirkier. And it was just that they, like, I don't know, I wonder how they actually went about the process of like finding people back in the day, because like obviously I think they'd have like email
they had like big auditions, right?
Yeah,
I think they
in
would
like
have
different cities.
Yeah,
in
they'd
England
go to cities
stuff.
In England and in one in Dublin. Belfast, or sometimes they don't even know if they had Dublin ones.
Yeah, sometimes they didn't.
Belfast, I think, and then they'd have
and like, you'd line up like X Factor.
We like the RDS, yeah, like X Factor, and you go in, and then they choose a bunch of them, and then like dwindle it down.
And
mad.
I tried to find Nikki's first, because I remember her first like audition. She's wearing like this Baker Boy hat that was like knitted.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
And
yeah.
She's like really funny, but she's totally, she's not being herself, but she's really funny. Like, she's kind of,
like, she's on.
Yeah. So what she did, she applied twice. And a lot of, like, same with Pete Bennett, who won that year. He had applied a good few times. She had applied the first time and she disclosed all about her anorexia and being in treatment and all of that. And she wasn't allowed in for those reasons.
Oh, interesting.
So then she went for it again the year after, but completely denied and, like, made up a backstory kind of thing to get herself on the show.
I wonder, like, I guess it's just probably such a big production team and so many people that applied that it just slipped through the cracks.
I know, I wonder, maybe, yeah. Like, I'd say, you know, back then we didn't have the fear of like reality show kills, for example, like with Love Island now, that's like a huge, I don't think Love Island will continue. I think it will, you know, it will dissolve soon enough. Like, I think they'll come back this year, Laura Whitmore, but I think it's just like, it's stained.
Just has such a dark, especially because like, I know it's not the first one since Caroline died, because Laura Whitmore did
that. Was that during?
It was, I think, yeah, because it was just before.
Oh, it was winter, because she died in February.
That's it. Did she present the winter one? I didn't watch the winter one. I just had no. Or was that Laura Whitmore's season?
Yeah, that was Laura Whitmore's season.
And then we had lockdown. So this is kind of the first one that's coming back this summer.
Since that.
Which I will be watching. We will.
Yeah, we will be watching, but I don't think it will. Like, I mean, these things have a sell-by date.
Yeah, and I think that the season that I watched, I know I've already watched one, but like that seemed to be the biggest season as far as people watching it. I think everyone, the year before that, a lot of people were watching it, but I didn't. But I think the fact that I started watching it, that season with Molly May and all them, that showed me that I was like, I think this is at its peak now. You know,
that was the first year as well that I really tuned in. Like prior to that, I'd kind of like lazily watched, you know, but I was like,
I was watching. And I was religiously
like one of my, like, remember that night when Moira Higgins, it was like, when it was like, there was two iconic Moira moments.
It was like,
when,
tomorrow, here comes in two girls. And she was like, what did she say?
Like, she's like, I can't remember what she said, but it was like, I'm raring to go. And we heard the Irish accent. We were like,
and her,
no.
Her accent.
Yes.
She was like, I'm absolutely raring to go for a nice fella. And we were like,
no.
And the fact
way.
That she looked like that and had that accent, that is just.
Oh my goodness.
And Evan was like, I know her. I was like,
and no one Irish had actually been on. Like, we had Rob Lipsett and Shannon Riley McGrath, but like, they hadn't actually been on as like a character. So but we were like,
and because she came in guns blazing.
Oh my goodness. Me and Fiona were literally like rolling off the couch. Like, I cannot wait for tomorrow.
Our group chat was like blowing up.
And then another Moira moment was when they were doing the like, tomorrow. And then it was like, he's gorgeous and his hips move so well. And it was Curtis.
Yes!
And the way that they edited that, it was
Curtis.
Just, we were like, what? Everyone thought, because she had gone for like the Tommy Fury type. And fair play to her, she's very happy with Chris.
She's looking great these days.
Oh, I know. Beyond.
Really looking so good. Fair play to you, Moira.
And they're a very matched couple. They're both like quirky and funny.
And Big Brother, I mean, obviously, when you watch Love Island, when I watched that first season of Love Island, it really reminded me of Big Brother. Because I haven't watched a show like that in so long with that setup where there's the hidden cameras and the night vision aspects of them riding in the bed. And also like obviously living in a house and being in some way confined to that house. Like a lot of the shows I would watch, like even like Bad Girls Club, where you'd see the house, they're allowed out. They're allowed to see people. And then other reality shows I'd watch, like say like Drag Race or Housewives, it's just so different. Either Drag Race, they just completely ignore the fact that they're living in a hotel and not allowed to talk to each other. And then Housewives is like, they live there.
That's,
you know, so
life,
so I think it's such a, it gave such way to shows like Love Island, you know, that way that like maybe, I don't know, maybe the younger generation might not know that.
No.
Because it was, when Big Brother, when those first few seasons of Big Brother came out, I remember just being like, remember it was on live on
E4?
Yeah,
and
I used to watch it.
And the airplane would go over when something bad was being said, like if they were talking about someone.
Or if they
who
even thought something might be said.
Yeah, so it was all the time. I remember just watching someone like do the plates and just like.
I'd be like, because I always used to be convinced that I'd see something crazy happening.
I know, live. Yeah. And it was that idea of watching something live.
Oh my God, did it invent IG Live?
It basically did. All these things paved the way.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And like, I remember I'd watch Big Brother and like it would just be like someone out the back garden like oiling themselves tanning.
Yeah.
And I was always like, I remember it would always look so hot and gorgeous.
I know, it was
like,
always
and they'd
hot.
Always get so tanned.
They would. Now, so Big Brother did start off as a social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So they very much like, I think they had like psychologists and they had like, they were playing mind games with these people. So now that will never exist again. That is dead in terms of reality.
Yeah, they were like poking the bear.
Yeah, because what we've, you know, we've seen just so much devastation from reality shows and those kind of things. Like they literally, I remember, and Nikki Graham's season, like I said, they had 14 housemates, I'm pretty sure. And they were all like, they were just such an eclectic mix. We had Imogen Thomas, who came to be known as Ryan Giggs, and her had that massive affair.
No way.
And he was trying to silence her and all that kind of thing. And then it came out that Ryan Giggs was also having an affair with his brother's wife, and she went on Celebrity Big Brother. So like, it was like, so Imogen Thomas, that's how she got famous. Then we had Leah, who was this big, blonde, kind of porn star looking girl. She had massive boobs. She was like really kind of northern, yeah. You know, and she had like this bleach blonde hair. So she was really quite extra looking. There was a guy, Richard, who was a gay man from America and who wore cowboy hats. We had Pete Bennett, who had Tourette's, who was like such a lovely, kind character. Yes.
I forgot that he had Tourette's.
Yeah. You say wankers all the time.
Oh my God, that is fucking gas. It's been so long since I've watched that. I'm so glad I've got you here, the encyclopedia. And he was so gas looking. He was like Boy George.
He was like a punk kind of Billy Idol vibe.
Yeah.
But he was really nice. And he was so fascinating to watch. I remember he'd like make up little songs on like the pots and they were randomly really good. We had Aisling. Remember her?
What was her name?
Aisling. She now has an OnlyFans. Aisling Hogan. She was like the kind of like London girl. She doesn't take no shit. She stands up for herself. She came on later. And initially her and Nikki Graham actually really didn't get on. And they had like arguments. Then we had like they always mixed in like as well a few normal people. We had like Mikey and Grace, who were kind of like the popular kids at school. They actually got together and are married with 3 kids.
No way.
Yeah, they're still together.
Found love in a homeless
place. They did. It's beautiful. And they were kind of normal. There was not like Grace was the bitchy one. She was like the bitchy girl. It was like pretty and a gymnastics teacher. And like she went out and she actually threw water at the girl who nominated her, who was like a 40-year-old woman called Susie, who came in with a golden ticket.
Oh my God.
That's where Nikki Graham's iconic. Who is she?
Yeah. And I was watching an interview of Nikki before we came over here and we're recording I was like, I wonder, is there any interviews from her from like the last year or so? And she was still saying like, she's so, like, I just felt like, oh God, she seemed so hopeless or something. Like she was still 15 years later. She was like, I love it when people say that to me. There's not a day that goes by where people don't scream at me going, who is she? And then I watched this other, like this morning segment on the Weight Watchers for Kids thing that she went on. And like right at the end, like Davina was like, she was like, I just have to say it. Who is she? And she screams it. It was so weird to see that because we're so used to people like complaining, and I can understand how that'd be so annoying if you have like a saying on a show that is just screamed at you for like the rest of your life.
Basically.
Yeah. And like, but she was like such a, like that's the first catchphrase I ever remember on like a
reality show.
Like that kind of moment. I remember watching that episode where she had that tantrum and like everyone had such mixed emotions about it. Like, do we like her? Do we hate her? Is she annoying? Is she really endearing? Yeah. You know, she really encapsulated that kind of like, not hate watch, but like she had an arc, right? That at first you thought she was a brat and then it
Which they were the best characters in Big Brother who grew,
for sure.
You grew with.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
But she totally was someone who you were like, she got voted out, you know, she got evicted and she was the first Big Brother contestant to actually, they had a vote to let her back in. They had her, Leah, and a couple, and they knew, the producers knew, because she was like the standout star of that season and she got kicked out and they were like, you know, she was all over the papers. There was like just, it totally died. The energy went when she went. Mm-hmm. So they got her back in and it was like the biggest vote of the season.
No way.
So, and like back then they always had like a certain amount of the phone call to vote would be for charity. It raised like 250K for charity and that vote alone to get her back in on the show. So she was such an interesting character and she was like, she really did grow in the show and to talk about, before we get into like how she was in the show, to talk about her, you know, she kind of came, she rebirthed through lockdown because all these memes of her tantrums were coming out and being shared on Instagram, being like, me when it's announced that there's a third lockdown. Yes. And it was her having a tantrum and she was seeing all that and she was loving it. But then only a month ago in our girls' WhatsApp group, I don't know who found it. I think it could have been you or Fiona.
I know it wasn't even our WhatsApp group. We got DM'd it.
Okay.
So we got DM'd on It Girls and I can't remember how it came up. I think maybe someone, anyway, it doesn't matter. But I remember saying it to you. I was like, did you see that fucking thing? We got DM'd. And you were like, no. And someone had DM'd being like, oh, like, have guys, have you seen what, like how Nikki Graham has gotten so sick with her eating disorder? And there's this GoFundMe set up for her. And I was like, it literally took me so long to cop who it was even about because the pictures were that shocking because it was really graphic pictures
and they didn't have her face in it.
Yeah. And if like, I mean, if you're anyway struggling with eating disorders, like don't Google that shit. It's really like, even now when I saw that picture,
no,
it was burned in my horrifying head. It was really, I understand why they used it because it was like a cry for help. It was like, she's so sick, you know, that way.
No, they didn't use her face, but it did. Pete Bennett, who obviously was on the show with her, who we're going to be discussing their relationship later on in the episode, and Ryland Clark, is that his name? Yeah, who presented the show for years. He said, with permission on Twitter, he actually put it out there that it was Nikki Graham. And they raised the money.
Mm-hmm. £65,000 or something.
Yeah, and I think she, for private treatment.
Yeah, because her mum said on an interview, I think it was only over the weekend or like early this week.
It was a week before her death, I think.
Oh God, no, she was already dead. I watched it.
Oh, no, there was another one she was on before. Well.
She was basically saying that, like, they had been failed by the NHS so many times. She was like, the only treatment centre that was open for her to go to was one that she had been failed by, like, 3 or 4 times. So it was just like, why send her somewhere that didn't work for her, you know, that way? So they had to go down the private route. And, like, I mean, amazing that they raised all that money, but, like, I couldn't believe when I saw that.
It's going to charity now.
Is it going to charity? Oh, God. Yeah. That's so sad.
But, like, good. So her story, she wrote 2 books. Mm-hmm. Like, she was an amazing advocate and very transparent with her struggle.
8 years old was when she got her eating disorder.
Yeah. Which is incredible to think of, like, you know, she, in order to get the kind of fame, she had to lie about it. But then once she got the fame, and nothing, I remember, like, nothing was really spoken about her. I think maybe at the end it kind of came out that apparently she'd been in, you know, treatment and stuff like that. But only when she came out and she openly, she could see the kind of reaction of people being like, what's wrong with this girl? This girl's acting like a child. And she was able to explain her history and why she was the way she was. So she was 8 when, the youngest case, I think, ever in the UK.
Really?
Yeah.
To be admitted.
Yeah. So she had, like, most of her childhood in treatment.
Yeah.
She barely had schooling.
Yeah, her mum said she was in treatment more than she was in school. She
From 8 to 16.
Yeah, she got her eating disorder when her parents broke up.
Yeah, and her granddad died.
Yeah, her granddad died. And, like, there was a lot of, like, tumultuous kind of stuff going on at home. And her mom said in that interview recently that she was like, I felt like it was a way of Nikki kind of saying, like, oh, like, just don't worry about me. Like, look, I've got everything in control. And we do hear that so much around, like,
about
eating
control.
Disorders. Yeah, control. We did an episode as well, must be like 1.5 years ago, with our friend who went through treatment, who's now preggers.
Yeah.
Preggers and having a little baby girl really soon.
I know. So, like, incredible.
Yeah. So, if you're interested in hearing about more about, like, the eating disorder and things, that's a really good episode, I think.
Yeah.
And I'll share it on Instagram.
To see it from lots of different ways. Because, like, you know, we kind of touched upon the whole visualization is what we're so used to with anorexia. And Nikki did give us that. Now, there's lots of different, you know, eating disorders that you can't, that wouldn't be as visibly maybe shocking, but it doesn't take away the impact of them being so real. And, like, on that episode, our friend said that the biggest killer in any of the mental health realm is eating disorders,
which is
so scary. So, yeah, she was very young. She got into treatment and she had, like, starved herself to, I think, 4 stone when she was, like, up to 16. She was just, like, consistently not eating, and they had feeding tubes put in her. She would rip them out of her nose. They put them in her stomach. She ripped them out of her stomach. I remember she always had a scar in her stomach in Big Brother.
Okay.
And that was because she would rip out. Like, she literally was just, like, so, like, one of the doctors in the UK said that it was the worst case he'd ever seen of anorexia. And I mean, for it to have, she never was had a normal life. Like from eight, she was institutionalized. And then she said in her book, she has two books, Fragile, and the first one was Dying to Be Thin. And she said that like a lot of these treatment centers more so gave her kind of tips on how to hide it. Or, you know, because like she said, after her first stint, she had put on weight, because that's usually what they focus on, like just getting you back to a certain weight to then...
So your organs don't fail. Like there is reason behind it too, you know, that way. Like they do have to, if you do get to a certain level, which I'm presuming is unfortunately what happened to her, usually your heart just can't fucking function anymore, you know, that way. So they have to put on, I guess, a certain amount of weight. But as you said, that can be really, I know from some people I know with eating disorders, that can be very obviously triggering because they're putting on a lot of weight really fast. Your body changes
and not
so
in their
fast.
Control because like the nurses or whatever is like insisting that they eat this,
pretty much being force-fed to an extent, you know, that way,
which is
traumatic as fuck,
yeah.
For anyone, like imagine that happening, even you, like never mind if you had like a disorder around it, you know.
Yeah, no, it's It doesn't seem to work anyway, you know. And it's one of those things with a lot of mental health, it's so intricate, like we don't know how these things work. But then, so her mom was speaking a lot about, apparently what seemed to be, because we saw her like vaguely, you know, she was in Big Brother up until 2016, I think, or 17 was the last time she was on Canada.
She had the most amount of Big Brothers ever, I think.
I think so, yeah. She like literally loved the show. Yeah. She was like such a like... such a fan, and then like a continued fan, and like always like triumphed it. And obviously like it was gone. When was it, last year that they like decided to
end it?
The house was bulldozed. I can't believe, I'll never get over that, that they bulldozed that fucking house.
I can't believe they used the same house.
Yeah, I know. It's so the crazy. Same house,
makes
same
sense,
set.
As if they rebuild it every
year. But well, yeah, like as in Love Island, they have different villas and stuff like that.
Exactly. It was purpose built. For Big Brother.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
it, they
crazy.
Just like interior deck, like did the design differently.
Yeah.
And, like,
I
design...
just never knew that. Like, it must be so crazy going into that house being like, oh my God, this has happened. Like, so
I
many
know.
Seasons.
That's why I can't
here.
Believe they bulldozed it.
They should have made a museum. That would have been iconic.
Oh my God.
It would have made so much money as well.
Or an Airbnb or something like that. Like, you could stay.
Yeah.
It would have been iconic.
Or like a theme park kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know
something.
What I mean? Like, or like they could have done such a cool museum, like the fucking wax museum or like the Ridley's Hall of.
Where you could
whatever.
Do some of the tasks.
Yeah. And like, you could, like, they could have brought in like iconography from it, or like, you know, like, you know, the different, they could have done the different diary rooms. You could have watched like little clips of like Pete Burns, or you know what I mean? Like, this is where Pete Burns had that crazy fight with someone, you know?
Yeah,
it
was,
so
it was such a like, so much happened in that space. And like every year they would get like these decorators in, and like the interior was designed to make them go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, which is fucking gas when you think about
and
it.
And that was a big thing with Nikki. She hated the air conditioning.
Yeah.
She was so, I mean, probably because she was quite thin as well, but she was always freezing.
Yeah, she was. And that's kind of was one of her like iconic moments as well. But I think the colors of the house apparently like changed to whatever mood they were in. Like, there was like LED lights before they were a thing.
Wow.
And sometimes they'd have like, say like the sitting room or the bedroom would be all glass. So you had no privacy.
It always, that you're so right with that. Like, when you think of it, the color scheme of the gaffes were always really like
really garish.
Primary colors, which are like not restful and calming.
Yeah. They're like bright yellow.
Only one window out to the garden. And then even the garden was so walled in.
And the garden was fake grass.
Yeah, fake grass. Oh,
I know.
I just loved that when a new season would come out. Seeing the house, I'd be so excited. Interiors.
And Davina would always go in and look around first before they went in. But her mom said, which I think is really horrifying, especially in the times that we're in, that lockdown really
exacerbated it.
Yeah, and took like, it was just like, it wasn't, she wasn't going to survive this lockdown. It seemed like it was like, I mean, and that must have made them feel so out of control.
And apparently,
they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. And like she said that she's offered to for Nikki to like live with her. They made a bubble, but it just apparently like the gym's closing was a really big trigger for her because she wasn't able to exercise, and that kind of like exacerbated her kind of restrictions on her own eating. Basically started starving herself, I'm sure. And then, you know, I think that's just going to be something we're going to see so much out of these lockdowns. Like, I think the impact.
And like so much that we haven't even heard.
100%. And like, I feel like, you know, it's so much that we haven't even heard, and a lot of that people might not end up tying back to the lockdown because it's only really going to come out in the next year or so, you know, the way, because we're kind of at the, fingers fucking crossed, the tail end of this kind of whole experience. So I think now is when people are going to, I mean, there's even going to probably be weird, like, anxieties,
PTSD.
Agoraphobia, PTSD, hypochondria. Like, that's to name a few.
Like, I'm definitely anxious about stuff, kind of.
I just can't remember what it's like to have so many plans.
I didn't think I'd ever forget that. I didn't think I'd forget the busyness, even like the silence of not having traffic on the roads.
Yeah.
You know, like when I'm traveling to bring the kids to school or whatever, it's like silent, barely any cars.
Mm.
And I just don't think, you know, even if you're going to the shop and you just kind of bolt across the road because there's no traffic.
Mm.
Those things that, like, I don't know, I definitely have gotten used to it and kind of like happy in my little bubble of just existence.
Yeah. And like, we're like, I mean, that I just couldn't imagine going into something like lockdown with like a serious mental illness. Like, I think that, especially being on your own.
And her mom said that she used to have like little kind of hooks that would, like, you know, monkey bars almost, that would kind of just get her through. Mm-hmm. Surviving a little bit. Like, she would have holidays. She actually went on a lot of holidays. Her and Imogen Thomas remain friends.
Aww, that's which so
they
cute.
Didn't get on in the house, but like they remain really friends. Good friends. They went away to New York and Australia and you know, festivals and stuff. And I think those little things were just something that she looked forward to. So she would probably be like working towards them and wanting to go to those. And I'd say she just didn't have anything to look forward to. And again, like her mum said with the gyms, that was out of her control. And that was probably something that gave her like a certain amount of control in her life to kind of like, she had to do this. And
good. You know. Because I think, like, I remember on that this morning that I watched, where she's talking about the Weight Watchers. I'll link these in the description as well. She's kind of saying, like, you know, they're like, oh, so you had an eating disorder or something. And she's like, look, you always live with it. Unfortunately, it's something that you're always like battling against. It's something you're always constantly trying to have like building blocks around you to survive. And I guess those small building blocks and that kind of routine that she had was stripped from her completely. Yeah. So when you've built up a life like of like, okay, the way that I can survive is
to
by
survive,
having the gym, having a holiday, seeing my friends, these
going
little,
here for lunch, probably, like, you
exactly
know,
having
sometimes
certain
they like
places
to eat the same thing every day or go there, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. And like she found a way to live with it. I'm sure always struggled, but like, you know, stay alive. And then when literally everything was stripped from her, I mean, she is dead within the year.
I know.
That's so horrifying. I'm seeing here from the Irish Examiner, it says big surge in eating disorder referrals during COVID-19 lockdown. Experts have suggested that anxiety caused by the pandemic is leading to relapses in eating disorders. So this is something that, like, not only is like, it could be instilling eating disorders in people who maybe didn't have them, but it's really triggering like relapses. Because I think when people don't have, because it is like a neurosis, mm-hmm. you know, that eating disorder, it's a control aspect. And so people are obviously like taking it that out. And I just couldn't imagine being not only on your own, but like struggling with that during
and
lockdown.
And her mom said that she had terminal loneliness, which is really sad, that she really valued. Obviously, she was such a social person. Now, looking back at Big Brother, like there were one of her, I remember one of her tantrums that we actually have on our Instagram, because we put up three like of her most kind of iconic tantrum moments, which were just so funny. Like, she was one of the first Big Brother contestants who used the diary room and actually was able to make her own show just by herself.
It was
in
so
the diary room.
Amazing the what she did in the diary room
without it, and that was just all natural. Like, she didn't have the, you know, we saw it kind of be copied before or whatever, but like, she literally was just going in there full of rage. And there was one, Richard, the American gay guy, she was complaining because I think she like, you know, was restrictive with her food in the house as well. Like, she liked to have this at a certain time, she liked to have this amount of cereal, like she'd measure out her stuff. And I think, like, then she was living with people like Richard, who was like just pouring in his cereal, like loads of cereal and splashing in the milk. And that was just so insane to her because she was like fucking using all this cereal. And as well with Big Brother, they only had like, you know, they had to do the tasks to get the money to buy the food. So they could either get a luxury shopping grocery, whatever, or like the budget one, which was like
tins of beans,
yes,
unbranded,
and like cereal with milk, like. And I mean, that was as well to just really fuck them up and get them hungry and get them annoyed. But she said, which is amazing, that Big Brother saved her life.
So crazy.
And I think, like, if you look at you know, her and the person that she was. And same with all the other contestants, like Pete Bennett, who was like Tourette's. Like, he couldn't go into a normal job and be like, hello, fuck, wankers, bleh, can I, you know?
Or, especially back then when, like, you know, there was so, like, now... We're so much more, even only in the last like 15 years, there's so much more awareness around these things, you know, that way. But like I never heard of Tourette's in 2006.
And he also made it cool.
Yeah.
Because he was like this wacky character and he rolled down, like when he won, he like fell down the stairs, I think purposely. But like he had a MySpace. I followed him on MySpace.
I remember he had a MySpace, actually. That's fucking gas. I think like
he had a band and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I remember her mum saying that in that interview as well. Like, she was like, she's like, I was really nervous for Nikki going in. She's like, you know, because she's quite unusual of a girl, you know. So like, it was so obvious that that was genuinely her. Like, she was like, Nikki was quite strange, you know. Yeah, she was like, she's just an unusual girl. She has her own little ways. And like, obviously those tantrums, which now you can actually see as like a regression into kind of like teenager, you know, that way. Like, she probably never got to really be a teenager. Obviously she was like,
she said her life was perfect up until 8, and then I think her dad had something going on with work or whatever, and the home changed
instantly, I think. And they probably were like a nice nuclear family, and then all of a sudden it was like, mom and dad are separated, granddad's dead, dad has some weird money issues,
and your home is just not a safe space that it was.
Exactly. So it was just this control. It's just so sad. But her on because she got her own show, right? After Big Brother.
Let's talk about her and Big Brother, and then we can talk about that. Because I think, like, to remember her and, like, you know, give her the icon status that she is. So she came into Big Brother and she was dressed as, like, a Playboy bunny.
I remember!
Because all these Big Brother stars, like her, Aisling, like all these kind of, a lot of them, of these kind of girls were coming on Big Brother because like Nutsmag and like the FHM and those kind of magazines were really like, it was the kind of thing. It was basically to be like an Instagram sexy bitch. That was the equivalent of like, if you got on Nutsmag or whatever, you were like, you were like known as being a hot girl.
And remember actually, even Kelly Donegan was saying that, like, when that she started California, which is only 4 years after this, so very similar time, that she was like, I wanted to be like an FHM girl, a Nuts girl, a Zoo girl, which seems so, it seems so mad now. Like, if you said this, I'm sure, to like someone in their early 20s, they're like, wait, hang on, what? That was the goal? But that was the goal. But
when you see, like, now we're, you know, OnlyFans girls celebrated and stuff. Like, this was, it was just, it was kind of, you know, is it the whole, like, idea of being lusted after?
Yeah, and we still,
you know, very much kind of value that as women, I think. And I remember, so Nikki kind of wanted that, which is funny to think. So she actually got a boob job because she never developed. I don't think she ever had a period.
Probably, her I say was severely impacted anyway.
So, but she, on the NHS, I think she got her boob job, and she really wanted, she said herself, she was like, I'd love to be in Nutsbag. I'd love to be in this. And I remember her in Grace, the gymnast girl, she was like, oh, I'd never do Nuts, I'd only do FHM. There was all these kind of like
a hierarchy.
Yeah. And then actually Grace did do Nuts.
Did she? Gas. Nuts, but is such that was a fucking hilarious name for like,
I know.
Disgusting. It's like calling it magazine balls. Ball bag.
The balls that, like, that's scrotum. What they're gonna, what's coming out of the balls is why they're buying this fucking magazine.
What's coming out of my nuts on the magazine.
Yeah. Oh my God. But that was her kind of, you know, I think she kind of wanted to, after years of, you know, suffering, she was at her healthiest, I think, in Big Brother weight wise, and kind of like, she was very energetic. So she was obviously like, healthy enough. But so I think she was just like, okay, I want to be this like sexy, lusted after girl and be in these magazines. But then when she went on the show, Grace and Imogen, they both hooked up with guys and they were like always lounging around with their fellas. And she was just like this wild character, and it was just so funny to watch. She was so funny. She would have massive mood swings. She couldn't handle, and they all babied her as well, which was kind of nice, but she couldn't handle normal things, you know. Like, there was a game where like they had to do a silent disco and she couldn't figure out the disc man, and
she's like, my MP3 player, then she's like, I was working.
But those were iconic to watch. Now, the funny thing about Big Brother is like, there's the difference of like being in the house and being like, that was probably insufferable to live with.
Oh my God,
but to watch is amazing.
Yeah.
And then she she was just like difficult, like her mum said. Like, I think it was very much attached to the eating disorder. All her little controlling ways were like bled into so many different things.
I wonder, did it remind her of treatment as well?
Oh yeah, she said it was so easy.
Yeah. That's, she's like so used to being locked up, being told what to eat.
Yeah.
And with a load of people that you don't know. She's like, oh.
Yeah. Okay. She was like, it was so easy for me. I was actually so comfortable there.
And like, instead of talking to a therapist, she was talking to like Big Brother.
Yeah, that's probably why she was so like
in the diary room all the time.
Just like kind of, you know, disclosing how she was feeling and stuff. A really nice relationship that was, that formed was with her and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about reality shows. Like, it's a guy with Tourette's who's like a punky kind of squatter guy.
Boy George kind of like, yeah. Billy Idol.
From Brighton, like, and then her, who is like this like little Princess Nikki. She wanted to be, you know,
like blonde.
Yeah, she wanted to be like the pinup girl. They just like really cared for each other. And then she got voted out. And then she really missed him and he really missed her. And then when she got voted in again, there was another house, and then she got brought in and their love story happened, which was so like short.
I don't really remember like, much about it. So you'll have to.
It was
like,
only like a week, I think, of
really?
of them actually being in the house.
Okay.
And then they were like before the show was over kind of thing. So like she came back in and she like was swung around and like snogging and all, and it was just so gas.
And was he in the house with her from the start then?
Yeah. They came in together. She left because okay. She was evicted, and then she was voted back in.
Okay. And then did she last up until the final?
She came fifth.
Okay.
She came back in and she wasn't as good because it was like she was back in the real world. She knew what they liked.
Yeah.
She knew that like these tantrums were really like,
and that
funny.
Awareness.
Yeah. She was more self-aware. So
yeah. It wasn't as authentic.
Yeah.
Which we see now in like the kind of, you know, because she was probably one of the first people that I know of anyway, who acted like this on reality TV, had these catchphrases, had these like iconic tantrums.
And was just herself as well. I'd never seen someone just be themselves.
Like, I know.
I would love to fucking have a tantrum like that. And sometimes one slips out and I'm like, oh my God.
But
I'm
never
mortified.
I feel like never to the extent
oh
of
no,
that.
No, like she's
that
banging her chest like a monkey.
And like they fully have to give her like time out in the diary room. They're like, Nikki, you are now not allowed to leave the diary room. She's like, I'm not supposed to be in here.
Like she's seething with anger.
Like the anger is like unquenchable.
I know. It's like it's wild. But she's so funny in it as well.
Yeah. She definitely inspired, I think, a lot of people going forward. Yeah. Like a kind of, you know, because for the early reality shows obviously informed this kind of way of like, okay, you can choose your character of how you're going to play this show, you know, like, and a lot of people would kind of go, okay, who has been really successful in the past? And it happens in Drag Race as well, because the first few seasons, it was always like, and they could say it's the edit or that someone played up to it, or, you know, it's chicken and egg. What came first, you know? Yeah. That would be like the villain, like the bitchy villain kind of, who then gets a story arc of actually being really nice and caring. And then there's the one with the catchphrases. And then there's the kind of like goofy kind of crazy person. And like, I think people choose a lot of the time that it's premeditated. They're like, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to be the villain. And it's really obvious in Drag Race when someone does that now. Yeah. Like, because they go in, they're like, I don't give a fuck about anyone. And it's like, the best villains were there because like, they had this cold exterior, but a heart of fucking gold.
Yeah, and it's just only good when it's real.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the point of reality show.
When you think of like Meghan McKenna.
She definitely was trying to emulate like Nikki's tantrum moments, and it was just so fake. It was mortifying. Like she was screaming around that house, but it was like, oh no, you're fully in control of this. You just want to do this for like screen time.
And then you don't get the endearingness as well, because with Nikki, even though like I was watching, even I was 16 watching this, right, 2006, I remember watching this and being like, this, like, and she was only 23, so she wasn't even that much older than me. But from my mind, she was a grown-ass fucking adult.
Yeah, and she's on TV as well.
She's on TV, and like 23 when you're 16 is very far away. And I was like, I don't even know anyone who acts like this. Like, but there was this thing of like, oh, but it's like, it's kind of weirdly likable. Like,
I know.
It's enraging. And like, I couldn't imagine having that as a daughter, like her kicking off every 2 minutes. Yeah. But like, because it was from this, like, you could tell it was just from this place in her that, like,
because she was so
genuine,
real.
Yeah.
And there was an amazing scene as well when she started to kind of fancy Pete, and you could tell she did. And Aisling had come in, and it was also DJ Spiral was in that season. It's, I think you can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
It's so worth a rewatch. And also they had like a transgender from, I think, Australia called Sam. And like, rewatching that is insane.
Oh, like how they speak to her.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like at one point, Nikki is in the bathtub and she's like trying to peek in the shower at Sam to see what she has down there.
Oh my God.
And they're like, and they're the way that the girls were towards Sam. And actually, Sam is now living as a man.
Really?
So I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know if
detransitioned. Wow.
That could have impacted him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can imagine that to be quite traumatic.
Yeah.
And unknowing, because people, that's the thing with those early shows, is that like, we had such a limited experience of what, how people are impacted by it. So people were going in so blind into these shows. They were just like, oh, I might get famous.
But it was also a good way for the public to be able to see different people. Like, yeah, we saw Nadia, who was transgender, mm-hmm, who won Big Brother.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
and Brian Dowling, him talking, yeah, about being gay. That was a big thing.
It was. Like, and there was Anna in the first one, who I can't remember her second name, but she was like a lesbian nun from Ireland. You know, these people who like you'd never meet in the day to day, but you actually are like, oh, they're real person with, and they're nice, and I actually like her. And they, why shouldn't they be like, be that, you know, and all these different kind of.
Totally. And I liked how in the early, like, because nowadays it can be force this kind of token vibe, you know, that way of like, we've got a this and we've got a that, we've got a trans person, we've got a gay person, we've got a person who detrans, you know, it's like, we get what you're doing there. But there was an authenticity within their casting then, that they were just presenting people without like like, they weren't trying to push a narrative, you know, that way. Like,
there, everyone had their own story to tell.
Exactly. And it also, because it was probably put in there as an instigator, like, let's not lie, but they were probably like, okay, I'm going to put like it in the conservative.
Like, Nadia went in and didn't tell, you know, she went in as a woman and didn't say, like, I'm actually trans. I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they were kind of guessing, like, that now wouldn't really be allowed. You wouldn't really guess someone's. You just take someone as they are.
Oh yeah, you wouldn't be like, is she?
Well, that's what you'd assume, but I guess like still in society.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, it does exist regardless if we're showcasing
it
on.
It would be
television.
Interesting to how a TV would actually present that, because they might not, like, they might just like take someone out of the house for, you know, not kind of talking in a way of a narrative, when actually you come to a way better resolution, you know, obviously unless someone's being like fucking bullied and harassed, you know, that way. But like, you come to a better resolution a lot of the times in these shows. You have like, say if it is like someone who's trans, or even if someone like from a different background, like I know in like wasn't Natalie Nunn always having those conversations in her one as well, like a lot
on
of
Bad Girls Club.
Yeah, no, in when she was in Celebrity Big Brother,
she was the first voted out.
Yeah, she was so hated on that show.
Yeah,
oh my
she
God.
Was.
But there was always, there's always like a racial talk as well that comes up from Big Brother, I think, because
or
put
a cultural,
talk. And I think the best way that they ever deal with that is just letting them have the discussion, because 9 times out of 10 they usually come to a place of like,
and letting people, or even you as a viewer, you know, you might think that you have a certain view, and you're like, oh, I don't think it's right that people change their gender. But then you see this person getting treated bad, and you're like, oh, actually, I don't agree with what that person's saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a representative for that movement.
Because, yeah, if you see how the other person's talking to them, you're like, hold on, who's looking worse here?
Yeah.
The person just being bullied
and
harassed on TV, or the
minding her own business.
Yeah. Or the guy who's just like, you know, can't even live and let live on TV. He has to like get his, or like, it doesn't matter if it's a he or whoever the fuck it is, or just because like women do it too.
And they're mixing
show.
In, like, they had a guy called Glenn on that episode, on that season, who was also great. He was like a normal guy from Wales who spoke fluent Wales. And he was like, I've never boiled an egg. He never boiled an egg. He was like 19. So they were like teaching him, and like Leah was like his mother. She was the one with the big boobs. You know, she was like, and then he kind of started fancying her. It was just like such a weird amalgamation of people that just like was fascinating to watch. Like, and these kind of people like Nikki and Pete and Leah and all that, like, reality TV is really the only space for them. Because like, if Nikki, for example, hadn't had that, that was like, she hailed Big Brother as the best time of her life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could see that she went into Ultimate Big Brother. She you know, had her own show. Like you said, she was the first person from Big Brother to win like a national television award, which was huge.
What was her show? Was it just like the Nikki Graham show, kind of like following
Princess
her around?
Nikki. It was a take on kind of the simple life.
Okay.
So I think I rewatched that actually a couple of years ago.
Of course you did.
Excuse me. Like,
I think I rewatched it.
I think I know everything about the show.
Yeah, I think I know fucking every fucking single thing. That's why I fucking asked you, bitch.
So it was recorded like basically straight after, and they would have her
always
doing
the best ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Always
it was
the
like
best
they
ones.
Got her quick.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of a flop because her tantrums were great in the house, but then it just turned a bit kind of bitchy. Like basically they had her doing like gross jobs, shall we say.
Like
so
bin
it was like
man kind of
she was like she went in as like a super cleaner and into this like the house hadn't been lived in years. There was literally like you open up a drawer and there's bird shit, you know, and she was in there and she was like puking. And then during the filming of that Pete Bennett, they were having a relationship and they were obviously like on Now magazine and they were like this really weird couple, like, but like so,
so
cute. And you wanted them to fucking survive and live and be in love. But
very like Chantel and Preston.
Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense at all. But you're like, please work.
Yeah. You're like, I kind of really want this to work.
And still I'm like, oh, I'd love if Chantel and Preston just got together.
I know.
Because they're still kind of friends. I'm like, oh, would you not stop messing around,
what
guys?
What are they up to these days?
Chantel, I think.
No.
I know.
You're like, I think Chantal.
She went out with Alex Reed and had a baby with him, who is Katie Price's ex.
He was a
cross-dresser, as in like
he
dressed up as a girl sometimes. And he, I think, is quite, he was abusive to her maybe, or maybe it was another Australian boyfriend she had. But she also struggled majorly with an eating disorder. When she came out of Big Brother,
Chantel?
She dropped, she dropped a lot of weight.
I do remember that actually. She got very thin.
Yeah, very, very thin. And she has her little baby. She's, I think she's engaged. So she's doing grand. Preston randomly was in Thailand drinking and broke every bone in his body. Like,
what?
I searched him on Instagram.
Are you joking?
No, like there was, this was about a year or two ago, like literally, he was in a full body cast.
What's his second name again?
Preston. I think that is his second name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very
maybe
that.
Preston. Yeah.
Let's put in Big Brother.
The Ordinary Boys. Boys will be boys. That was
I
their song.
I loved that song.
Such a good song.
That song was fucking
And I
iconic.
Loved Preston. He was like such like a little cutscene.
He's, yeah,
kind
he's
of.
Just like a one name dude.
I think he's a writer though. I think he
Samuel
writes.
Samuel Dylan Murray Preston.
Mm, very British.
Very British.
He, I think he's a writer. I think
same
he writes.
Age as Nicky. Very
oh
sad.
No! I think he writes for like Justin Bieber and all.
Oh no way!
Yeah, so he's still
fair
in the music industry behind the scene. And then his fiance—I don't know if they're still together. He was had this gorgeous fiance,
Denmark.
I was living in Denmark
in 2017. He was hospitalized following from a fall from a balcony in Denmark. As of 2018, Preston is engaged to Emily Smith.
I think it's a different girl. Unless it's he was dating this kind of like Asian girl, and she was really gorgeous. But then after his accident, the girlfriend fucking was, you know, those diffuser essential oil things?
Oh, yeah.
She opened it up, put in the essential oil, and it, because the water was burning, it splashed back this oil and it was acid and she fucking scarred her whole face.
Show what I love from this. This is deep in your premedicated life where you were reading the most triggering articles on fucking Daily Mail. It always has something to do with an eye.
Always. And always a celebrity.
Always
from a reality show.
A reality show doing something dumb shit. Like Lindsay has like a handful of these stories. Your man with the Prosecco champagne bottle. I remember this story. And
yes,
like,
I told you.
And then
like,
obviously,
guys,
Preston falling out of this balcony. I'm like, this is when Lindsay's premedicated life was bringing her to these dark places.
I'd just be like, minding my business. And then I'm like, I wonder how Preston's doing.
And then
I'll
like,
find his Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, he's in a body cast.
So this article says,
you had to learn how to walk and all. Like, oh.
Chantel Houghton and ex-husband, they got married?
They got married, yeah.
I did not know that. Are really close 13 years after divorce.
I know. And they went back on Big Brother for Ultimate Big Brother.
Oh my God.
Separated. Like, when they were not together. And Chantel fully, and Nikki Graham was on that Big Brother, and Chantel was clearly still in love with him and kept him crying and stuff. It was like, because there was one part in that Ultimate Big Brother, Chantel was like, Preston, do you know what day is? He was like, no, babe, what day? She was like, we got married this day last year. It was really really awkward.
Oh.
It's like, oh, babe, you okay? And she was like crying.
Oh, that's so cute. They're like, oh, babe. But like, yeah, Nikki Graham kind of reminds me of like Trisha Paytas, as in like, you were just made for this bizarre world of fame that has no real like trajectory. Like you could go, like she went on Big Brother as well. Yeah. Trisha Paytas, which was iconic.
You just need to get your weird personality out there. Otherwise, you'd be working probably in an office. We've all worked in an office with that insane person. I probably was the insane person.
But you know, but the way we were like, in an office.
I did, in my father's office.
Oh, work experience.
Summer job. Shout out Marsha McLennan.
Shout out.
Actually, fuck y'all.
Fuck y'all. You abused my girl. Yeah.
I wasn't like talking the phone. I'd be like, I remember my dad was like, oh, that's your phone. I was like,
you're like, my phone.
Oh. Hey, Carla. Hey, what's up? I know. It's so boring here. They're all fucking so annoying.
I remember when
and
I worked.
And the girl behind me complained to my dad. I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
I remember, you just remind me of being on the phone and work. When I worked in Arnott's for years, one part of my job, I worked in the information desk, but I also had to work on the switchboard, which is like when you call up Arnott's, you're like, can I speak to Linens? And it's so scary up there. They're like, here you go. So like they sat me down. They were like, yeah, when someone rings in, you just like click this. And then you like, there's this huge, big piece of paper laminated with all the numbers of all the departments.
No,
and you also have to be so quick. And like there was some that like they'd
that's
be like
so hard.
Can I speak to Linens? And I like couldn't find it. And I just go, yeah, 1 second. I'd just be like 2, 4, 6. Because I'd hope that they transfer, then they'd ring back and I'd be like, they'd be like, I'm very annoyed. You said you were transferring me. I'm like, sorry, that must have been another one on my team. I was the only person in the room.
Gosh.
And I'd be like, hang on, I'll put you through now. And I'd be like, kitchenware, I don't know where to fucking, or I'd just hang up.
Oh my gosh, that's gas.
That's what happens when you put fucking 16-year-olds on the
literally
phone.
Literally. Oh my goodness, I did fucking nothing.
Although I'm pretty sure I was like a solid 20.
Well, look, no one's judging here.
Look, I've always had phone anxiety, okay?
Yeah, I know.
That was horrendous. That was what I think what triggered it, to be honest. I was like,
maybe.
So I always hated being on the phone. And then when I was forced to be on the phone and talk to strangers who were so angry at me, and I was like, I just don't know where the number is.
I'm sorry.
The widow.
Who hurt you? Linens is not the answer.
I'm like, look, hon, just get the bus into town and pop up to Linens, will
you? I'm sure they have a double fucking fitted sheet on.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure it's in stock.
Yeah.
And also, I'm sure you're also going to go on the phone to another 16-year-old who's not going to check.
Back in the day when stuff was in stock, nothing's in stock these days because of COVID.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. It's so stressful.
It's so annoying.
But yeah, like Nikki was just like, obviously she didn't have a great startup in life. And so it's not like, she, you know, she didn't have schooling or she, like, I think she went to do like a beauty course after her treatments and stuff when she kind of got out at 16. But like she would have probably just like, it was amazing that we're able to see.
She flourished.
Yeah. And that we were also able to really like understand a lot of the kind of weird details of eating disorders that you just would miss.
Mm-hmm.
Such as like, you know, how it was really important and to her to control her portions and know exactly the calories she was eating and what she was eating. All those kind of things. Like she definitely at some points in her life was able to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not like normal as mm-hmm. into you and or I, but it was managing and it was
livable.
Like you said, keeping her alive.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I think also I'm just thinking back on last week's episode when we were talking about like, the cult of the Y2K it gals, and like that kind of era that we were discussing was when Nikki Graham was coming out, and it was when like there's this like, have you ever seen that TikTok trend where it's like, I think it's gonna fuck with me. I really think it's gonna fuck me up. And it was like, there was one I saw the other week and it was a girl. Oh yeah, it's like, I think this is affecting me mentally. And it's this girl and she's like green screened with like an article and it's like, when you grow up at this as the body standard, and it's that picture of Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie being, you know, that really skinny one. And it's like, she's just like, I think this gonna fuck me up.
Literally.
And that was the era that Nikki Graham, so it was actually, I remember when all of that, especially Rachel Zoe, do you remember her?
Yeah.
She was their stylist and she was so
And I think she
thin.
Still is.
Really, really thin. And she, that was like, obviously, as I said, it was.
What was her show?
Was it Rachel Zoe Project?
Yeah, could have been.
I would fucking loved that show. She was bizarre,
very bizarre,
that she literally shaped like an entire aesthetic of huge sunglasses and those Balenciaga bags.
What ones?
You know those the moto bags?
Oh yeah,
she like made that whole
thing.
She styled like Misha Barton, Lindsay Lohan. Like there was so much we could fucking break down about that style in another episode, but you know, because that was the there was always this like thing with eating disorders back then that like people would be like, is Lindsay Lohan too thin? Is Nicole Richie? And there would never be a culmination. Like, I don't think it has ever come out that Nicole Richie has ever acknowledged the fact that she...
Which I find mad.
That she had a clearly a severe...
And now she's a
disorder.
Mother and like, you know, times have changed so much where we don't like, yeah. you know, where it's so respected to come out and be like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, I pro... You know, I maybe had some form of, you know, impact on culture
yeah.
because... I was like the one of her photographed on the beach will be forever burned in the back of my eye.
And
it's her in the blue
yeah.
little bandeau
and she
bikini.
Had the chest bones and like that and that picture of her and Lindsay Lohan is really famous. Yeah. They're holding hands and they're both so thin.
So
I don't think Lindsay Lohan ever really acknowledged it either. And you know,
and
I
it's
think
also like we said, like it's not always about the visible. But growing up as a kid and be so you're so visually absorbent as a child, and you're seeing, you know, or as a young teen, and like.
You were just like, is that how people are supposed to look?
And like, how do you get to look like yeah. that? And then we had access to the internet and pro-Anna sites.
And all those web, all those magazines like Heat and all would always have these like, Nicole's crazy diet. Like, mm-hmm. which is so damaging to put that shit in fucking writing for kids.
So damaging. Like, or even I remember reading like those magazines and they'd have like more like normal bodies and they'd have like her diet, what she should change. And
for
like,
sure.
Maybe instead of having eggs in the morning, have three grapes.
Yeah. It was like, you know,
maybe put down that toast and
full
have
on
a
like
rye bread.
Yeah. Or like that fucking Special K diet. Like that,
I
that
know.
Was paid like in magazines, Special K paid for advertising. I remember it. And there'd be someone being like, this week's Special K diet. And it was like,
so what was it? It was like,
you replace two meals with a bowl of Special K.
Like breakfast.
Special pay on your
You're that flabbergasted. So.
It was breakfast, like, Special K.
Sorry, what?
You just like you had two bowls of Special K. And also, may I add, yes, I did try it, okay? And do not. But I did.
No, I didn't.
No, I'm just saying
didn't,
to anyone
but
listening.
A couple of my friends did.
I mean, when I say tried it, I mean, I think.
Tried.
I think
and
it lasted
hungry.
1 week because my mum bought the Tesco brand of Special K. But you had to measure out a 30-gram bowl. Have
yeah.
you ever seen what a fucking 30-gram bowl of cereal looks like?
It's like those mini cereals
like
that you get as a kid.
A dessert bowl. Like you were
oh
like,
my
and
gosh.
I was like, oh, so I'm only allowed two of these a day, plus my huge roast later. Yeah. plus but my like, egg and chips and waffles later.
Yeah. I love deadly. That kid meal.
I know.
Eggs, waffles, peas.
When my mom would do it on Thursday, we would like run out of food. So she'd always call
oh,
it
yum.
A Thursday dinner. It'd be like breakfast for dinner, beans, waffles,
I know, it's
eggs.
It's delicious. Oh,
nothing hits different like breakfast at 5 p.m.
Yes, queen. But like, so true. Like those little weird things that like, definitely like, I mean, that was all over TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ads.
Everywhere. So it was really refreshing to have someone like Nikki Graham and really trailblazing for her to be open about an eating disorder
yeah,
back
and,
then.
Yeah. And like, it's just so sad that it took her life. That,
it's you devastating, know. You know, but I think, not that this should have ever had to happen to someone, but I think it will be a huge learning lesson. And I think it's like, because she was, you know, arguably one of the most famous people with an open eating disorder
yeah.
and battling it for so long. And, you know, again, I know not how you look is always a reflection of your health.
But she also did write about it in her
yes,
two books.
But she never fully looked recovered. You know, that way,
yeah.
only in the Big Brother house where you're like, I remember being like, she isn't eating disorder, she looks grand. You know, even though
I remember
so
being like, she's so skinny, but loving her bod.
Oh, no,
as a younger me.
Totally, because it was really, you know, that type of body was idolized.
And she was like a fairy springing around, so skinny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
but I think like her dying as absolutely tragic and unnecessary as it was, don't get me wrong, but I think that it will be like, because she was so famous, she struggled with this for so long, it will like, I think hopefully help some people, you know, that way, as in like seeing
yeah.
her in real life genuinely struggle and then it killing her again, completely needless. I wish that
but
that
people
girl,
especially
woman,
people who are suffering with eating disorders,
it's very rare that you see someone that famous and then dying within 20 years. Like, this is like
yeah.
so young. Like, I was young when I started watching her. I'm still fucking young.
Yeah, but like, and even the fact that we remember that was like, I mean, I was thinking back when I saw the announcement, I was thinking back like, wow, if me watching that show could have known what was going to happen, that I'm now watching Pete Bennett on IGTV crying because she's dead. And like the fact that he had visited her with his girlfriend, who's a mental health nurse, like they maintain friendship, which is so special, those kind of reality show. Like, obviously they had like a fleeting romance of 1 month when they left the Big Brother house, but like that they still maintain their whatever. I think that was just a confusion over like they got on, they really got each other and loved each other. Mm-hmm. They tried out a relationship for a minute and then it was like, didn't work, but that they still maintained their little connection and stuff. And it's just really, really devastating. But I do hope that, I think as well, it will maybe, it gives great acknowledgement for the suffering that people with eating disorders are enduring.
100%. Because so often what you hear from like an educated perspective, which is understandable because like not everyone understands eating disorders. Like we only barely scratch the surface as well. But I think, and I don't think you ever fully understand it unless you go through it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think, as you said, I think it's an acknowledgement of the damage it can do, because people kind of do like, oh, this whole like, what, it kills people, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is, because you don't always see it happen in real time.
Or you see like Nicole Richie who just, and like who kind of just like got over and is still kind of skinny, but like doesn't talk about it. So maybe it's
fine. You're like, oh, maybe she just did lose that puppy weight. But like now you do see someone who unfortunately died, but like, I think it does acknowledge that like the danger that people are in when they're suffering from an eating disorder also, of any kind.
And also the impact of like children and like comments on children's bodies, and especially children's bodies. And that we also had when we had my friend on, she said that a minder of hers had mentioned like, oh, you're having another packet of crisps, you're so greedy or something like that. And that just penetrated something in her brain about food and hiding food. And like, then it just, you know, grew legs.
And she really, advocated for that as well, not for it, but like when she was on that This Morning thing about that Weight Watchers thing, obviously she was so against it. And even on that, she looked really, really, it was only a year ago,
because it was about
a Weight Watchers app that was being brought out. It was aimed at the family, but kind of aimed at kids more so. And like, look, they were saying it's going to tackle childhood obesity, but it's like, it's so nefarious in my opinion for Weight Watchers to be making this. Like, fair enough if it's like an education thing built by doctors and scientists, but it's like Weight Watchers, like, who by the way don't even promote healthy fucking eating. Like, the way that Weight Watchers, it's like, have a little jelly, a sugar-free jelly. It's like, that's not in any way, like, they're like, we're teaching people about nutrition. I'm like, you don't even teach your adults about nutrition.
It's about microwavable shit food. But like, also
a numbers game in order to lose weight quick. And then you get
even try and kind of blame or that the kids should be responsible for their obesity. Exactly. That's from like, learn from their family. And or also, like, I know some people who would have struggled with like putting on weight. It's from, you know, it can be a lot of the time just filling a void of like, if your home life is stressful, you get this enjoyment from food and maybe overindulge. It's complicated to be like, oh, an app tells you, oh, I should have vegetables instead of a supersized McDonald's. And
that was her argument. Her argument was just like, look, I understand the like, what it's claiming to do, but she was like, what it does do is it basically makes children aware of calories at too young of an age. It makes children obsess over their food. And if there is someone, you know, she was like, this isn't going to cause eating disorders, but if there is someone who is going through a stressful time at home, because she's been there, you're right. So like, if you're going through a stressful time at home, if you are that way inclined, if you're already having these kind of niggling neuroses around your body, that could like trigger you to be like, oh, Here we go.
Like your own little mini pro-Anna site on your phone.
Absolutely. So rest in peace, Nikki. It's so, so sad that she went. We will always, you know, she'll always be up in the Hall of Fame for us.
Yes, 100%. Thank you for entertaining us and for, you know, paving the way for just women to be able to scream and shout as well.
And like, and be a brat.
And be a brat. And also like, be a brat and like, sometimes it's funny, you know, like she was very humorous in her rage,
hilarious.
So we will catch you next week, gals.
Bye, gals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.